his wife, children, church. Pray blessing and strength on him tonight. Hallelujah. And we're glad you're here. I'm sorry.
Let's love him one more time, would you, everybody? The Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is here. I said the Holy Ghost is here. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Oh, come on, this is why we came tonight. Let's love him together. Let's love him together. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's love him together. It is oftentimes impossible to really, thank you, sis, you're helping me. Keep helping me. It's oftentimes impossible to know exactly where God wants to go. We feel him moving. But there are times then in our own humanity, we don't know exactly where God wants to go. John 3, I was talking with your bishop this afternoon, John 3:8 says, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth. Simply means it blows where it wants to blow. We don't know where it's going or where it's coming from. We just know when we feel it and hear it moving in our spirit. I've had the privilege of traveling around this globe many times and the privilege of being in a lot of churches. But let me talk to you for a minute here. There is a very real sense of destiny in this church. This afternoon in my room, I was asking God, God, help me. Help me to find that vein where you're wanting to take us, because there's true destiny in this house tonight. Let me just, I believe that there are seminal churches across this fellowship that God in his infinite wisdom knows how to place the right man in the right city and put the right people around him, that together they can push back the darkness and the forces of hell. And in that process, churches are built that are not just a strength to the local community, but they're a strength to the body around the world. Let me tell you, New Life, that you do not have the fortunate luxury of just being another apostolic church. You don't have the fortunate luxury of just being a church as usual and just feeling the touch of God and having great Holy Ghost shout down church. But there is a deeper weight that God has placed upon the shoulders of this house, that your worship's not just for yourself, but there are churches all around the world that are holding on to the fact that somebody somewhere is praying and somebody somewhere is hearing from God. There is a unique touch of unity here tonight. There is a very common, precious thread that's woven in the fabric of who you are that is a very, very, very powerful commodity. And I believe that the Lord's going to use it tonight. I'm asking you to do something for me and with me. But I'd like you to take the hand of somebody next to you, and if we could go all across this congregation. I want us to link up one more time in the Holy Ghost. We've prayed, we've talked in tongues, we've danced, shouted, but we've not touched him like he wants to be touched right now. And I wonder if unashamedly you'd throw your head back and you'd lift your heart to God. Come on, New Life, let's talk to God for a minute here. Would you lift your voice with me? Come on, let's talk to God. Come on, let's lift up our voices to Him. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's link our hearts and minds and spirits. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's do it again before we quit. Lift it up one more time. Oh, some of you in desperation, tell Him, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
There is another move of God that is coming to this local congregation. And I know what I feel. God's been good to you. He's blessed you. He's filled this house. But there's another wave of God's Spirit. I said there's another wave of God's Spirit. Going to push some of you out of your comfort zone. But it's the word of the Lord that will be fulfilled in our ears. This house is not near big enough for what I feel in my spirit. This will make a good foyer. You're not hearing me.
Oh, let's clap our hands.
Hallelujah. Here we go again tonight. Here we go again tonight. Only the Lord knows. Called my wife before church. I said, baby, pray for me. Pray for me, because everything I thought I was going to do, I'm not. So we're going to wing it again in Jesus' name. Zechariah chapter 4 and 6. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Matthew 17. Then came the disciples, verse 19, to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and
Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind of revival, this kind of what I feel in my Holy Ghost, this kind of what I feel the destiny of this church is, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit, by prayer, by fasting. Now let's throw our hands high in the air. Let's ask God's anointing. Would you do it? Come on, everybody. Lift your voice to Him. I love you, Holy Ghost. I thank you for your goodness, your blessings in my life, God. Thank you for what we feel in this tabernacle tonight. Thank you for what we feel in this tabernacle tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now let's give Him a hand praise of thanks. Let's praise Him one more time. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. And you may be seated. God bless you. I was speaking with your pastor yesterday, and he kind of opened the door for us to discuss a little bit about the church that we pastor and where we are and where we've been and where we're headed. And I felt this evening to just give God a little bit of praise for a couple of minutes because this is something that I feel is happening here. I went to San Diego 18 years ago. We had 8 people and a little bitty church. And if the termites didn't hold hands, the thing would have fallen down. It was rough. It was rough. And a little bitty ramshackle building didn't have a PA, didn't have any air conditioning. Honestly, when we begin to worship God after we got a crowd together, the floor would literally trampoline, and downstairs the fixtures on the fluorescent lights, the cover would swing open, and we were always afraid that we were going to drop bulbs down in the Sunday school class. And God was very good to us. I was not used to having a small crowd. I wasn't used to that. I had pastored previously a large congregation, and it was a challenge to me to see things that my naked eye could not see. But I remember telling my wife, I said, "Honey, we will teach Bible studies until we can't talk, till we can't walk, till we can't see. And if God is in this like I feel He's in it, He's going to help us." And I will tell you that the Lord definitely came through and helped us. And I remember after we were in that little house and it started filling up there on Hilltop Drive. And we started believing God for greater things that we had ever seen. It got to get noisy inside a little bitty house. It was probably 30 feet wide and about 40 deep. And we started stuffing people in there until finally they were standing on the sides. And then we put them on the platform. And about that time, the police started showing up to our church. And they would show up during service because the neighbors, we were in a residential area, and the neighbors were raising all kinds of Cain because we had no air conditioning, so the windows were open. And we had about 90 people, 85 to 90 people stuffed in that little house. I had a choir and finally got an organ and got a PA and got a piano and got drums and started having great church. And I'll never forget when I realized that what God is wanting to do, it is not going to be able to get accomplished by my ability, by anything that I possess, but it's going to have to be a work of the Spirit. It's going to have to be a work of the Holy Ghost, and somehow I'm going to have to allow God to do it and for Him to do it right. I remember when they threatened me and said, if you turn it on again, I'm going to arrest you. And I said, sir, I'm a law-abiding citizen, but I got church Wednesday night, and I will turn it back on. Bring your cuffs. We're having church. And we happen to be in the middle of revival. And come this next Wednesday night, while we were going wide open, a rock sailed through a glass window. And wrapped around the rock was a note that was tied on by some rubber bands. And it was my lovely neighbors that said, we are taking you to court. And we are going to shut this church down. And it rolled right up on the platform. And we're having church and loving God. And I opened it up and I read it and I put it in my pocket. And I didn't know what to think about it until I did get a summons from the district attorney. And there was a lawsuit that was coming against their church. Now, you got to understand who we were. We were people who, how can I say it? If you looked in our parking lot, it looked like Hooptyville. There was no nice cars. There were no new cars. We had ex-tweakers that were still on their bicycles. We had busted down cars and busted down people and people tatted from the top of their head to their ankles, even tonight running the aisles at home. And people that were raised on the backside and the wrong side and came up the rough side of the mountain. It was people that had been thrown away and God had filled them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and had changed their entire world. I looked out in that congregation and thought, I don't think I'm going to take this congregation to the court hearing because many of them have been to that court and the majority of them probably are on first name basis. And anyhow, the hearing finally came. I'm headed somewhere with this. The hearing finally came and I slipped in having church. I didn't tell nobody but my wife, had an evangelist preaching, and I slipped down in the evening there in our city. Big televised hearing. And when I sat behind a couple of men, I overheard their conversation as the one leaned over to the other and said, what are you doing here this evening? He said, I'm here to hear the case of a preacher that beats a drum and takes money from a bunch of people. I hear they're going to shut his church down. Now, I don't have a drum. I'm not a drummer. I don't beat a drum. But somehow that story got out there. I do take money. We take offerings where we are. And so I sat there and I thought, God, I don't have money for an attorney. I don't have money to fight the city. I don't have the resources to defend myself. And what we're doing is what you called me to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how to plead my cause. But somehow, God, I'm going to sit here knowing that you are going to intervene like only God can intervene. And sitting there in that courtroom that evening, I remember hearing the mayor of our city ask the parties that are involved in Hilltop Tabernacle versus the city of Chula Vista, would you please rise? And I was about to stand when I felt the Holy Ghost say, be still. And I didn't move. But to my right was a group of neighbors. I knew them. It was people I talked to. Some of them I taught Bible studies to. And they were with their attorneys. They had two attorneys. And there was a large contingency of them that was there. And they were embroiled in their conversation. And sitting there, I was looking. You know how you want to look at people but not let them know you're really looking at them. I was looking at them through the side of my head. And I was just waiting for them to jump up with their attorneys. But they were so embroiled in their conversation that they never heard a word. And she said it again. With the parties, please rise. And I'm sitting there. I'm thinking, God, what in the world is going on? I was nervous, I'll tell you right now. I was shaking. I was physically trembling because I realized I'm about to be in a heap of trouble. And the third time she called for them to come, and they never heard a word she said until finally I heard the word spoken in the microphone that was televised in San Diego County. The case is dismissed. Nobody said anything. There wasn't a word. They were still embroiled in their conversation. I was wanting to run the aisles in the courthouse. I was wanting to jump and dance and scream in the courthouse. I was wanting to do flips and everything that I could do. But I sat there and I thought, I need to go tell the church right now. I can get there before church is over. But I thought, oh, you better stay. You better stay. And about, so she went on to the other things that were on the docket. Until finally the attorney rose and began to make his way up to the bench and said, ma'am, we are here. I'm representing so-and-so and so-and-so. And we're waiting for our case to be heard. She said, sir, I heard it. Sir, I asked three times for the parties involved to please come to the bench or to stand. And nobody moved. Therefore, sir, I've dismissed this case because obviously you were making more noise than they were. Now I want to tell somebody. I want to talk to somebody here tonight. If God tells you to do something, God's going to make a way for you to get it done. When the hand of God starts moving into church, it's not by might, and it's not by power, and it's not by money, and it's not by authority. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. And so I did get back to the church just before it was dismissed. We tore the house down. We tore it down. We shouted, we cried, we flipped, we did it all. Well, then I realized the war ain't over, it just started. Because now they're upset. Because they wrote me another letter, accused me of buying off the judge, of all kind of stuff. And I'm smiling, saying, y'all don't understand, I ain't got no money. I couldn't buy a donut, much less buy off a judge right now. And so I said, Lord, this is a God thing. And so I just want to keep feeding the God thing. And so right after that, Bishop, every Sunday night, a bus would come, a city bus would come and stop in front of the door of our church. Now, I'm going to preach in a minute. I just want you to know where I'm headed tonight. A bus would stop. It was Chula Vista Transit. I would watch it roll up. The door would open. And people would stumble off that bus. And they would walk into the church on Sunday nights. And these people, would every one of them, would get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd baptize them in Jesus' name. And I would ask them, how did you get here? And the stories they begin to tell me, it happened week after week after week after week. And they said, Pastor, you don't understand, but in the city that we live in, there's many of us that have no family. We have no hope. We really have nothing. And we have a bus pass. And our family, our friends upon the bus. And we ride the bus all day long and develop relationships and friendships and camaraderie on the bus. And our bus driver is a friend of ours. And he knows the condition that our lives have been in. And he said a few weeks ago, he began to tell me, when I go by that church on Hilltop, I hear prayer coming out of those windows. I hear people calling upon the name of the Lord. And he said, I've never been there, but I got a sneaky feeling that what you need, you're going to find in that little house up there on Hilltop. I'm preaching to you tonight that God gave me a bus route. He gave me a bus driver. He gave us a city bus. And every week, for weeks on end, here would come people off the bus and in the altars, talking in tongues and living for God to this very day. Some of you aren't hearing me tonight. I'm here to tell you it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, let's clap our hands to Him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I feel like God's wanting to take this church somewhere to move you in a dimension of faith you've never been. I mean what I'm saying right now. So we got to praying for the bus driver. I mean, it was weird. I knew every Sunday night. The church knew every Sunday night. Doors open, here they come. That's you talk about revival. I like that kind of revival. One Sunday night, here he came, big old, big brother. He looked apostolic when he come in. He was full grown. He wasn't no puppy. He come in. He walked in a little bitty foyer. You got to stand. We were crammed this little bitty building. He walked in, blue little uniform. He come in with his head like this. Tears run down his face. Tears come in shaking. His community that had already got the Holy Ghost jumped up and ran to him, brought him down to that altar and prayed him through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. Filled him with the Holy Ghost. And I said, come on, tell me what's going on. He said, preacher, I drive through this entire city, but there's something about that church. I drive by it and I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. And I've wanted to get in here. Can I talk to you? Birmingham needs to know what's going on inside this house. They need to feel the power and the glory of God. Oh, let's clap our hands to Him. And so we filled up our little house. Got so full, didn't have any money. I will tell you, God is my witness. We didn't have $10,000. We didn't have $10,000. If we'd have scraped everything together that everybody had no money. A Mormon church approached me and said, we see that your building is full. We are downsizing. We wonder if you would like to purchase our property, our building, our gymnasium, our acres there. And I said, sure, probably. Ain't no problem. And they wanted $3.5 million. Is that all? You know, you can't do any better than that, you know. And I rolled up on that parking lot, started looking around. I said, oh, Jesus, I can't wait to baptize Moroni. I can't wait to get that angel down in Jesus' name. I want to see this house full of the whole. Are you hearing me? Didn't have nothing but a poor people. We have a God. I said, we have a God. I said, we have a God. Got to working with Salt Lake City, jumping through all the hoops. I went to Banks. Banks laughed at me. You know, they gave me one of those pats on the back. And we had our church up for sale. People walk in, look at it. I mean, literally, it was the termites has eaten it. The fascia boards were eaten up. It's pitiful. It's pathetic. But I was thankful for it. You know, it was our house. And we had a lot of great times there. And long story short, I'm going to get to my message. Long story short, it wound up that the Mormon church wasn't big enough. It could only seat 250 people in the sanctuary. And I thought, if I'm going into debt, I ain't going into debt for 250 people. Because what God's doing is going to blow my mind. And so my wife and I started driving around the city. And we found a church on L Street where we are right now. Seats a little over 600 people. And it was right on Main Street, two big corner. And it was a Brazilian church. And I had heard through the grapevine that it was for sale. And so one day going there, I used to go to that church on off nights. I would go in there. I would sit in the back and I would curse it. I'd curse that church in Jesus' name. God, stop this thing. Shut it down. Dry it up, God. They're preaching a false doctrine. This ain't truth. These people are going to hell. I'm telling you, I did that. They found out who I was. And I'd sit in the back. Stop it, God. Stop this thing. Stop this thing. Stop this thing in Jesus' name. Stop it in Jesus' name. God, you know I don't have the money. You don't have the ability. I don't have the power. I don't have the intellect. I don't have this. But I got you, and you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. One evening, Bishop, on the way, I told my wife, baby, we're going to go to church there tonight. She says, I hate going there. It is so depressing. I said, come on, we're going tonight. And on the way there, I went by a house that had a big for sale sign out in front of it. And the for sale sign had a little sold sign up on top of it. I don't know why I did it, but I just stopped. And I said, I'm not stealing this. I will bring it back. And I took it. And I put it in the trunk of my car. And we drove to that church. They were having service. And I stuck it in the yard. I said, come here, baby. It said sold on it. I have the picture to prove it. I said, take my picture, baby. Take my picture, because God's going to give us this house. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. You ain't hearing me. I said, God's going to do it. I can't do it. I don't have the money to get it done, but God can do it. I took the picture. I took the sign back, stuck it back in the yard. I started showing it around to the church people. I said, where did you get that? I said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Hear me. Hear me. My first granddaughter had just got born, was just born. I was in a store buying a color printer so I could print pictures of the most beautiful baby that had ever been born. You've been there. And my phone rang, and I answered the phone. It's at night. It's just before this office depot was closing. And Laura Sikalski on the other end of the phone said, Pastor, are you sitting down? I said, no, I can take it standing up. Talk to me. And she said, you know that church you've been wanting to buy? I said, yeah. She says, they want to sell it. I said, okay. She said, but you got to hear this. They don't just want to sell it. They want to buy yours. I said, okay. She said, you're not hearing me. They want to do it tonight. I said, what do you mean tonight? She says, tonight. Their attorneys are here in my office. They know. They've told me, you've been coming to that church for months, sitting on the back row mumbling something, and they want to sell you their building, and they want to buy yours. I said, talk to me. How much do they want? She said, they only want $2.2 million. I said, no problem. She said, well, can you meet? I said, yeah, I can meet. So I told my wife, I said, baby, we're going to buy that church. She looked at me. She said, baby, what do you mean buy that church? We're not any money. I said, you ain't hearing me. We're going to buy that church. We're going to buy it tonight. We're going to go get this deal done tonight. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit. What about a board meeting? What about it? Didn't have a board. Couldn't afford a board. We met with them. Here's all these attorneys. All this stuff. They said, well, Pastor Buxton, how much would you like for your property? I said, well, you know, considering the location and I said, I'll take $1.2 million. They said, no problem. I said, excuse me? They said, no problem. They said, we like this 30-day escrow. If you can come up with a balance of $1 million in 30 days, this is a done deal. I said, it's a done deal. Let's work all this mess out. What do I got to do? And so I'm shaking and I'm signing papers thinking, my God, we don't have no money here. I need $1 million in 30 days. I need $1 million in 30 days. I signed the papers. I went to church. I went to church that next day, Sunday. I said, well, y'all, we sold this one and we're in debt for $1 million. It was about like that, just about like that. They looked at me funny and I started flashing up the pictures on the screen. And they said, no. I said, oh, but yeah, God's done this. God's going to do this for us. And if God's brought us this far, God's going to take us the next 30 days and give us $1 million. And so I'm telling the church, I'm so excited. And a 16-year-old girl in the front row jumped up and ran up on the platform crying. She said, Pastor, I got to talk to you. I mean, this is right in the middle of church. She stopped everything. I said, what is it, baby? She said, you don't know this, but when I was a little baby, I was in an accident and said such and such happened and this happened. And they gave me a big settlement, but it's been tied up in litigation for years. And I'm just now getting my first installment. And it comes due in about 11 days. And I get X amount of money. And she said, the first check I get is $60,000. I want to give it right now. I want to give it right now to the work of God. I'm going to start off $1 million offering. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. I talked to her parents. Her parents said, she's 16, if that's what she wants to do. Bottom line, let me cut to the chase. 30 days later, 90 people in a little bitty ramshackle building. We had come up with $1 million, and we were able to complete our purchase. Somebody better hear what I'm telling you. There is a wave of the Holy Ghost that is coming to this house. And God's going to again step out of his throne room and say, try me, prove me, and I'm going to show you I'm God. A week after that, sit down. I got to finish the story. I mean, you may be seated. One week later, Sunday night after church, everybody was lingering. We're trying to lock up. We're so excited. We don't know what we're going to do. How? I mean, we're going from about 4,000 square feet to 42,000 square feet. I mean, we got more rooms and offices than we have people. 217 doors. My son got the wise idea. He said, "Daddy, our last Sunday in this building," he said, I'm going to the high school, and I'm going to talk them into letting me get the big old bass drum. Because they said, "We beat the drum. We're going to beat the drum. We're going to beat the drum from old hilltop to new hilltop. We're going to march. We're going to talk in tongues." A week after I told the church, I was locking up one Sunday night, and an Asian man walked up to me. Never seen him in my life. He walked up to me. He said, "Pastor, I have a question." I said, "What is it, sir?" He said, "Do you have all of your money yet?" I said, "No, sir, not all of our money." He said, "Well, God sent me by." And he handed me a brown paper bag. And I began to count. As soon as he left, I counted 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, $10,000 in green $100 bills. And he disappeared. Appeared in the night. I've come to tell somebody, when God gets ready to use a church, God's going to use a church, and he's going to provide the ability to get it done. Somebody want to hear what I'm telling you? It's not by might. I said it's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by the glory of the Lord. I want somebody to hear me. The Holy Ghost is brooding over this church. The Spirit of God is brooding heavy over this congregation. Let's lift our hands and love him right now. Come on, let's love him. Let's love him. Let's love him. Let's love him. Oh, please hear me. God can use anybody. Forgive me if I'm getting out of order. God can use anybody. I don't think you realize the importance of who you are in the kingdom of God. You please hear me, Birmingham Church. I don't think you understand the impact that you're having in the kingdom. I don't think you understand what all is going on inside these four walls. I'm in a lot of churches. I'm having a lot of church with a lot of people. But there is destiny in this house. I feel this house is pregnant with the purpose of God. That there are great things for you. There are things on the horizon that's going to blow your mind. But we've got to stay connected. I said we've got to stay connected and understand. I'm not going to let what I see affect what my heart wants to believe. I'm not going to allow what I don't have to keep me from what I do have. We marched. We moved in one Sunday. The newspaper, the TV, the radios were out. We shouted, we danced. We got on that parking lot. We fell out. We fell in the grass. We rolled. We talked in tongues. And that's been a few years ago. And God is still filling that house. Every service. Every service. Every service. Every service. Every service. Every service. Hear me? Every service. Every service, every service, every service, every service. I got a phone call this afternoon, Bishop, and the young man that preached today said, "Pastor, it was unbelievable. The people just kept piling in the doors. We didn't have any idea who they were. And they pile up at the altar, and God's filling them with the power of the Holy Ghost." Somebody better hear what I'm telling you. There is a touch of God that is heavy on this house. And God can use anybody. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Amos was trained in the school of fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. David was too old or too young. Abraham was too old. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Widower, a widow. Paul was a murderer. Moses was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Oh, you ain't hearing me. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas doubted. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. No, he wasn't, but he was depressed. He was suicidal. Elijah was burned out. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was probably lazy. Samson had long hair. Noah got drunk. Did I tell you Moses had a short fuse? I want you to hear me. When God decides, I'm going to build a church in Birmingham, Alabama, God can use anybody. I said, God can use anybody. I said, God can use anybody. He's just looking for somebody that says, use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. Bishop, I don't know when you're going to build your next building, but it's time. We've never discussed this. I cannot believe I'm saying what I'm saying. Acting the way I've acted these two services. But I told God, God, I don't care anymore. I just want to be blown by the wind. And wherever the Holy Ghost is moving, I want to move with the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell you, there's some great things. There's some great things. Let's lift our hands and love him all over this house right now. Come on, work with me a few more moments. Come on, lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. Lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, come on. Come on, let's plug into the Spirit. Let's plug into the wind of the Holy Ghost. Take your neighbor by the hand. Lift their hand high. Come on. Let's connect in this house right now. The wind wants to blow. The Holy Ghost wants to blow. Music, help me right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. How's it going to happen? I don't know. Where's it going to come from? I don't know. The wind's going to bring it. 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 Come on, lift your voice. 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 Your voice to God. Come on. I feel the wind of God want to blow in this house. There's miracles in this tabernacle tonight. There's miracles of provision in this house here tonight. Come on, please don't get through yet. God's not through yet. Lift your voice again with me. You got to stay connected in the Holy Ghost. God's wanting to use you. I said God's wanting to use you. I said God's wanting to use you. I said God's wanting to use you. Hallelujah. Roboko Shatarianda Rabakatarada Bahaya.
Come on, I feel the wind about to blow. I feel the wind about to blow. I feel the wind about to blow. How many wants to be a blessing? Please don't get quiet on me. How many want to be used of God? Bishop, 3.5 years ago, an old crippled woman rolled in my church. Didn't know her from Adam, never seen her in my life. Rolled in the back door in a wheelchair. Electric wheelchair. Didn't know her. Introduced myself to her. She talked very low. She just had her 80th birthday. Jesus, I don't know why I'm saying all this. But she said, can I come to this church? I said, well, sure, let's talk. Well, why are you here? She said, well, I used to go to another church, but they didn't like me because I'm handicapped. And because I asked them, and they didn't want me to sit in my wheelchair, and they tried to make me get out of my wheelchair and sit in a pew. And I asked them, could they put a bar in the bathroom? And they said, no. And she said, I don't know what to do. And she said, I've been driving by this church, and can I please come to this church? I said, yes, baby, you can come to this church. You can come to this church. She said, well, I got some people that want to come with me. I said, bring them. I don't care where they were going. That ain't the right atmosphere to have a Holy Ghost revival. And so she'd been there about a month. She said, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. She said, can I pay my tithes? I said, well, sure. I mean, you got to pay your tithes. You can't be saved not paying tithe. She said, well, I just had a little issue you need to help me with. I said, what? What is it, sis? She said, I was disowned by my dad. And said, my dad and my brother were in the mafia. And said, he owned a casino. My dad owned it. Then he passed it on to my brother. So my dad died. My brother just died. And said, they've left me. She got quiet. She said, they've left me a lot of money. She said, they left me a part of a foundation. And I got to give away $19 million every year to the foundation. So I ain't never had no money. I don't know what to do. I said, baby, I'm going to help you with that money. Come on. Think it'll be all right. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I've never asked her for a dime, ever. She ain't paid tithes on all of it either, yet. But she got a burden about a year ago for missions. And in almost 2 years, she's given almost $500,000 to missions. And I've been buying pieces of property and building churches all over the world that I can. I'm just giving these churches to these struggling little, in the Philippines. We built 19 churches. little bitty handicapped woman. People didn't want in their church. You know where I let her sit? Anywhere she want to sit. We got so many bars in the bathroom, it looks like a jungle gym up in there. What are you saying? I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. When you start getting in the vein of the Holy Ghost, God's going to bring it right through them doors right there. I
I said, God's going to start bringing it down these aisles. And God's going to start putting it in your pockets. And God's going to start putting it in your... You ain't hearing me yet. Because God wants this truth proclaimed. He wants this glorious gospel to get around the world. He wants Birmingham shaken in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the best kept secret of Birmingham is this church. I said the best kept secret of Birmingham is this church. It's time to get church outside these walls. It's time to tear this thing down. It's time to say, come on, I got a gospel. I got a God that'll help you. How many wants to be used of the Lord? I'm serious. It's one thing to write out a $100 tithe check. Could you handle writing out a $10,000 tithe check? God's going to use somebody in this house. I know what I know, what I know, what I know, what I know. I've seen God get money out of a fish's mouth. I've seen God give us a bunch of broke people. He gave us money. He put it in our hands. They walked off the street and said, here, here, in brown paper bags. And they're having church in there right now. Lift your hands to God. I want you to take your neighbor by the hand. It's not by might. It's not by power. Some of you need a miracle right now. Some of you need God to open up the windows of heaven right now. Some of you need the glory of God to move upon you right now. Come on. I want you to give it to him before he gives it to you. Would you? Would you? Come on. Come on. As they begin to lead us in worship, would you give it to God before he puts it in your pocket? Would you tell him, God, use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's your spirit. It's your spirit. It's by your spirit. Do it in this house tonight, I pray. Do it in Birmingham, Alabama. Do it for this tabernacle, God. We'll pray. We'll fast. We'll teach Bible studies. We'll love those that nobody else loves. We'll welcome them that nobody else welcomes. We'll enlarge our borders. We'll reach. One last thing. In that 30-day period, when we were trying to come up with that money, it's a long story. I don't have the time to get into it all. Finally, we didn't have near enough money. I called a banker. I said, sir, here's my issue. I mean, we're talking Southern California. We're talking San Diego. He gave me the rest of the money that I needed without an application, without a credit check, with nothing. It's a miracle of God. He's later on, he's been to church. He comes to our services. He gave it to us. But one night we were taking up an offering. It was the last offering we were taking before our deadline. And a young girl by the name of Shaniqua Gibson. Shaniqua's dad was homeless. He lived in the park. He was an alcoholic. God filled Shaniqua with the Holy Ghost. We found her in Job Corps, reaching out to Job Corps young people. Shaniqua's she's a beautiful young woman. But I knew Shaniqua didn't have anything. She didn't have any money. And I'll never forget the night people had brought what we brought and we threw it on the altar. And I watched Shaniqua. I watched her shaking. And I could hear her as she screamed in prayer, God, if I had it, I would give it. But I don't have it. Bishop, I watched her come down the altar of the aisle and get on that altar and lay on top of that offering. Say, God, all I can give you is me.
Don't have time to tell you, but the girl's blessed today. Oh, is the girl blessed today? Because she brought all she had and said, all right, God, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by your spirit. God's going to use you. Let's lift our voices again right now. Some of you need to give yourself to God. Use me however you want to, God. Use me however you want to. Use me however you want to. I'll do it. 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 Hallelujah. Use me. Here I am. Use me. Come on, somebody's going to have to be the impetus of the miracle of God. Somebody's going to have to step out and say, I got to do it. 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 Use me. Use me. There's a miracle coming. There's a miracle coming. I feel like taking up an offering. Come on, we need to bring our sacrifice to God. We need to bring what we got. God, come on. I don't know what you're doing, but do it. Do it in my life. Do it in my heart. Do it in my spirit. Yes. Oh, tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. There's a miracle coming. There's a miracle coming. There's a miracle coming. God, I want you to provide for this church. Provide for these families. Provide for every man, every woman, every child. Show yourself true. Show yourself alive. Show yourself real. Not by might, not by power.
Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Because
He won't give up.
He won't give up on you.
He's able.
He's able.
Oh, oh yes. Ha, 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 ha.
He's gonna move it.
on those of you that need a miracle in your life. I want you to lift your hands to God. You need a financial miracle. You need to lift your hands to God. You need a miracle in your marriage. Come on, come on. The wind's going to blow it to you. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Do it, do it, do it, do it. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. What it looks like, he's able. He can put it back together. He can make a way out of no way. He's able. Oh, come on, he's able. I want you to pray with authority right now. Pray with authority with your neighbor. Come on, pray in Holy Ghost right now. Pray with Holy Ghost authority. The blessings of God, the provision of God, the movement of the Spirit of God. God's able. God's able. God's able. God's able. Take authority. Pray in dominion prayer. Take authority of the Holy Ghost.
Do you?
Some of you are already praying for one another, but turn to somebody by you. And I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost that their gift would come forth, that God would give them clear direction, that God would anoint them and use them. Hallelujah.
Don't give up on God, because He won't give up on you.
He's able.
He's able.
Come on, let that Holy Ghost flow. Talk in tongues with authority.
Oh, we'll see you.